Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
The fan forum part, asking about me now, is moving over, and we're going to question four. How do you think the Huskers are going to do this year? And I'm actually going to even switch the brand up here on the top right. We are going to go to Matt's Rule.
It's bonus material time.
This is bonus material time. Matt's Rule. And this switches now. This is the forward-looking thing. So we're moving on from the past and everything to what's going to go on in 2023. We've done many shows over the course of the offseason, but we are into spring or fall camp now.
Yep.
We're 3 days into fall camp.
Yep.
We've had a lot of things go on. We've had a tight ends coach who was here for all of, 7-8 months, no longer here. We had Miles Farmer today officially went into the transfer yep. portal. So some things are changing roster wise and everything. But, I guess right now, where are you at, Matt, 3 days into fall camp?
3 days into fall camp. It's what you mentioned. Those distractions with Wager and Farmer leaving, to me, this kind of speaks to how good I feel like the offseason is going. That barely made a ripple for me in a lot of ways. Rule just seems to have such kind of his own built-in safety nets that with Wager leaving, we had this other guy come up right away, and he's already familiar with all the players, and we haven't really missed a beat on that. Miles Farmer, yes, he's in the transfer portal, but if you were going to pick one of our deepest spots in the defense, you would say the back end, right? The secondary is probably our deepest spot. Now I know Buford's hurt too, and I'm not unconcerned with that, but it's just like one of those things. Is like you get some bad news. If you weigh it with the whole, the big picture of everything, it's like, how bad is the news? I don't know, but man, I just haven't hated anything I've heard. I haven't hated anything I've heard. I love that they're splitting the practices up. I love that they're trying to get the young guys a bunch of reps. I love that they're rotating. It sounds like, day one, Harburg was the backup quarterback. Day two, it's Purdy. And I'm not saying the true backup. I'm just saying, when they split the practices, one was with this group and the other was that group, and then they flip it the next day. What I see these coaches doing is doing a true evaluation of the team that they have, and they're doing it in such a way that's actually putting extra stress on them, right? They're doing two full practices with a split up team, which has never been done around here before. I mean, I know Riley had two different units going,
not since at least Solich or Osborne,
right? Yeah, but I mean, it's so important right now because it's all been talking season, it's all been workout season, it hasn't been playing season. So, like, he has to evaluate this team truly to get to know who's going to play, who's there for the right reasons, who's going to buy in fully to his new philosophies. And what better way to do that than to get as many reps as you can to each group. And now does that require more for the coaching staff? Yes. But that's Rule's way. It's like, I have a feeling, if you're going to be a coach on the Rule staff, you're probably already planning on putting in full work weeks. And I'm not talking 40 hours. I'm talking, I don't even know. I'd love to hear actually how many hours those guys put in.
Well, I think what it is, it's the reps specifically, it's a continuation of an offseason of walking the walk.
Mm-hmm.
So right away we heard big things back in December when he was hired. Hey, we're going to do this. I remember the first time they talked with Satterfield, he talked about a fullback. It was like, oh my God, the fullback.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're also going to follow through with it.
Right.
Well, there you are, the first play of the spring game. It's a fullback,
yep.
Trap. And and that wasn't just for the heck of it. They kept doing it over mm-hmm. and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've gone out and brought in walk-on transfers from Notre Dame and bringing guys in, beefing up that position for year one of it.
Right.
And so we're not just talking the talk there. We're going to have a fullback. Mm-hmm. We're going to get under center. We're going to have contact. We're going to take those green jerseys off the quarterbacks. Well, there you are in the spring game, watching quarterbacks taking hits.
Yep.
So they're going through and actually walking what they're talking. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a big deal. The reps, for the longest time, when Frost was here, we heard all about that there's going to be stations.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would go to those practices. Those first two spring sessions for Frost, we went to them, and there were all these stations. But yet, by the end of it, you're hearing that guys weren't getting reps. The mm-hmm. guy, there are a lot of guys that are like standing around. It's like, wait a second.
I know.
Okay. Now it's early, you know, in the Matt Rhule era. So, you know, we need to keep up on this, right? Mm-hmm. We need to keep up a month from now, the same questions about how the station's going. That needs to be asked a month from now. It needs to be asked 2 months from now. We need to see development throughout the course of the year. So this isn't just a practice one question, but at least up to this point, there's so few things that I could be upset about with Coach Rhule. And then but that doesn't mean that it's been perfect.
No.
Look, Bob Wager, that's an embarrassing moment for just the program in general. Nobody wants to hire somebody in here and have them be gone, you know, before the season even starts. But you know what? How Coach Rhule speaks to it, the transparency that he's not hiding behind anything, and he's also setting standards. And he's simply saying, this is look, if I don't care if I brought you in, I don't care if you're someone else's, you know, someone else recruited you or someone else hired you, none of that matters. Moving forward, these are the standards, and no matter how you got into this program, you have to do this to stay in this program. And if you don't, guess what?
There's the door.
It is not a right to be at the University of Nebraska. It's not a right to be a coach here. It's not a right to be a player.
And I've heard people on Twitter. I've read some things on Twitter about people saying, you know, that, you know, the Wager thing, that's 100% on Rhule. That's a whiff or whatever. And this and that. They're right. It is. It's 100%. Like the head coach ultimately is responsible for his team that he puts out there. But to act like that means any controversy that comes up is somehow a reflection of a poor culture or this and that. Like, that's not, it's how you handle these things. It's how you would deal with these things. Do you hide it? Do you get out in front of it? Do you hold true to what you said you were going to be? And to me, he's done that. And not only did he do that, he already kind of had a built-in safety net to what he was going to do next. So off seasons are always you're always peppered a little bit with some controversy. Jeez, look at Northwestern. I mean, that's not the offseason they thought they were going to have. If we lose a tight end coach for a DD, you know, like, I'm not happy about it, but I mean,
would you be any happier if he got the DUI and we didn't discipline him? I mean, we've had other coaches.
Context always matters, but on the face of it, no.
I mean, we had a you know, well-known assistant coach about 4 or 5 years ago, or under the Riley era, who had multiple ones before he was hired.
I know.
And, you know, I think if you ever want to watch a dissertation on, I've mentioned this before, but a dissertation on what it takes to build a program, watch Coach Osborne as Athletic Director Osborne firing Bill Callahan, that press conference. That morning where he announces that he fired him, it's a 30-minute press conference, and he just it's not even about Callahan at that point. It's more about what's important with a football program. How do you build a program? How do you build a championship culture? All those things that people don't want to talk about but are really important. And you mentioned it with the head coach. You know, is it Coach Rhule's responsibility that somebody showed up overweight? Is it Coach Rhule's responsibility that a player isn't doing something right? Is it his responsibility that a coach got a DUI? Well, ultimately, I guess everything funnels up to the head coach. So as far as it pertains to the football program, yes, it's his responsibility. But all that I care about is that once it gets up to him, that he handles it. I don't have any question. I don't blame him that somebody was overweight. There's personal responsibility that somebody, same thing with me, by the way. Hey, I could lose a few pounds, I'm not going to blame anyone except for me on that. And if I show up overweight and my job requires me to be at a certain weight, then what I would expect the job I'm going to, I would expect them to say, sorry, man, you know, you need to come here and you're up here. You got to go back until you get here. And that's what he did. Hey, I show up at a job and I got a DUI. Then if the place is like, these are the rules. These are the rules. Even in hardships so far, like I said, it hasn't been perfect under Rhule.
No,
there's been issues that have come up, but even when those things have come up, he's handled them the way I would expect him to handle it. So I don't have any issue right now. There's nothing systemic. I don't see 20 guys coming in overweight. I'm not seeing, you know, a third of our staff getting DUIs. I mean, there's a lot of context to it, but in how he's running the program and how we know that there's one guy in charge. I mean, the head coach is in charge. And he's setting standards that are high, and you got to meet them.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be one thing if maybe the discussion before something happened hadn't been well presented. But I seriously doubt that that let's just use Flea because I'm not trying to call him out, but I bet he knew what weight he needed to be at. I bet it was relayed to him. I bet the message was clear. You need to be at this weight. You need to come in at this. You know, individually, you were responsible for your own actions, but the head coach is going to be responsible for the consequences of those actions, and you're going to be held to that. And if that's well communicated, then you really can't have much of an issue with it. I'm like, here, here's the rules. Here's our standard. Here's our culture. You do this, 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 and this, we'll have no problems. You step outside of this, we're going to be talking about something differently.
And doing it.
If you're consistent, if the messaging is good, and if the cult in what he's, what the consequences of everything that's happened so far is tracks completely with what Rule says he wants. And to me, that's, he talks about integrity. That's integrity. That's saying and doing and being what you purport to do. It's unrealistic to think on a staff in a team as big as Nebraska has. Yes, it'd be fantastic if everybody towed the line perfectly. Mm-hmm. That's if anybody works anywhere, you know, you've got people working with you that don't pull their weight. It's just human nature in a lot of cases. Yeah. But if your goal is to achieve greatness, if your goal is to be a place that you haven't been in a long time, you can't have that.
Yeah.
You got to have people going in the same direction, top down from the bottom up.
Andrew says, I agree. He made the right decision. Of course, we know Andrew is Andy.
Oh, Andy List, what's Andy, up, buddy?
Mr. Andy there. And I agree with what you're saying here. I mean, this is still we haven't even played a game yet under Rule.
Right.
He is still, I'm going to use the C word, culture. And he's still setting the culture, and he's still setting the expectations. Right. And early on, you sure as heck can't let this stuff go by, because do you think this is the last time that we're going to have somebody show up late at a meeting or something? You know, kids, an organization the size of this, there's going to be 150, 175 people that, you know, right now, I think there's like 170 people that are staying at Selig dorms when you count all the players and the coaches and the staff and everything. Anytime you put 170 of anyone together, you're going to have, there's going to be a couple of errors that come out of it, right? And what you got to do is you got to set those standards high, and you got to keep people to them. Yep. And so I appreciate that Coach Rule's doing that. I think he's a leader by example, which is another thing that I like about his management style.
Yep.
He's going to be there sooner than anyone. Yep. He talked about that a week ago at the Big Ten Media Days, that he wanted to be the first coach of all the coaches, all the Big Ten coaches. He wanted to be the first coach there that morning. And it was more just to be there, but that also, does that not rub off on Ethan Piper or Reimer, you know, on Sims, the players that are there? Is that, you know, coach isn't just asking us to show up early for a practice or show up early for a film session. I mean, literally, he's the one showing up early for what he's supposed to be doing.
When it speaks to his full philosophy of you compete in everything you do.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it shows the players. Like, we're going to compete in everything you do. Like, everything? Yeah, even getting to the Big Ten, you know, media day first. Like, that we're competing. Like, maybe the other team doesn't even know we're competing. It doesn't matter. Like, I know we're competing. I want to get there early. We're going to put our best foot forward. It gives him time to go down Radio Row and do all his interviews. And
I want to give Dave credit on this show. A year ago, we poo-pooed a little bit Frost that last the last media day that he went to when he didn't have an opening statement. I was like, and at that point, I just wanted the season to start. I was like, stop making controversy just for me. And I kind of got on Dave at that time, but I was like, stop making controversy just to make it. But the reality is that, number one, he was right. Yeah, I can't defend not, it's part of your responsibility as of the coach is to tell the story of the program and to be a good, you know, voice and face of it.
Yep.
And not doing that was not fulfilling that part of the role. So that part was right too. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, because it was year five, because he's not setting the culture anymore, the culture is set by that point. I let that go lax.
Yep.
Like in year one, that's really important. You got to do things in year one. No, you know what we need? We need consistency.
Yep.
What I want to see out of Coach Rule, I like everything I've seen up to this point. He hasn't coached a game yet. I like everything I've seen, but he needs to be the same guy then in 5 years. He needs to still have these same standards. You know, it's not something where it's like, okay, go out and win a national championship. By all means, go out and win a national championship, Coach Rule. But then if you come back the next year, it's like, show up when you want.
Right. Yeah.
You can come in 15 minutes late. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that the Nick Sabans and Tom Osborne's and all that of the world, those are the guys that are the second you win a national title, it's like, I don't even want to see the rings. Yeah. I don't even want to watch because that's in the past.
Yep. Yep. He does seem very much wired that way. Like it regardless of what success we do or don't have this year, I feel like will only direct what he does next year. It won't hamper it. You know, like if we end up being weak on the line, defensive line, offensive line, that'll just kind of direct how he focuses the offseason and this and that. But I think I would love to stop talking. I know I said this before, but like by year two, like I'd like to stop talking about culture because it's so already ingrained. Like I don't remember talking about culture with Osborne. It was just like this is how Nebraska does it.
It was the Nebraska way.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is we're taking deep cuts here, but it's like there was a Nebraska way of doing things. And when Solich was fired, it wasn't just getting rid of Solich. It was we're replacing everything.
Yeah.
I'm talking back end people we're replacing. The people that weren't in front of the cameras. We're replacing everything. And we were almost like a startup program. Mm-hmm. And I thought the same thing at Michigan when Lloyd Card leaves and he was a Michigan man and they replace him with Rodriguez and everything. It's not just the X's and O's. They just started over from scratch. And it is so difficult, especially for programs like a Michigan or like a Nebraska, where you are so established. Yeah. There was a Nebraska way of doing things. And for the last 20 years, we've been trying to figure out what's the right formula to get back to that. Mm-hmm. Well, what it is just hire Frost and then it will be the 90s all over again. Or is it just any kind of assembly? Mike Riley's first staff didn't have a single guy with any Nebraska affiliation at all. His second year, he brought in Perella.
Yeah.
And I was just,
and of course, Ron Brown's always on the side.
Yeah, Ron Brown's always there. Thank you, Ron, for always being there. But it was that idea that, at times we've just been begging for anything that's some kind of connection. Well, what's so interesting is right now, and I don't want to underplay this because short of Trev, and Trev's pretty important here, but short of Trev, we don't have any connection really, other than Ron Brown is on the staff. But there's really no connection with this current staff, and yet watching them and watching Coach Rhule operate, it feels like the Nebraska way to me. I don't know. I mean, it's the way they talk to the players. It's the physical contact practices, all those things they're talking about, fullbacks and Ed Foley going around to every single school in this entire state. And I know other staffs tried some of that too, but damn it, Foley's done it, times 10. And all those things combined to these guys feel as Nebraska to me as anybody else, whether they're from the state or not.
Well, it just, and that speaks to Trev, right? Because Trev went out to find guys who already think like Nebraska likes to think. I feel like that was a big part of his hiring process. And so I think it's in some ways kind of easy for Rhule to kind of fall in line with the Nebraska way. Like he says, it's on the building day by day. Like that's what he thinks. And, you know, it's easy to do the comparison with former coaches. And I'm not trying to call somebody out. But like one of the things with Bo is he was on Solich's staff, so he thought he was more of the Nebraska way, but he kind of somewhat resisted the Nebraska way in some regards. The black shirts were always an issue, how we were going to do it, how we weren't going to do it. You know, his just kind of contentious thing with the media that was just a little bit unnecessary in my mind. I'm like, we're going to have a ton of interest and you're going to have to deal with that. And so that always those two always kind of collided. And I know there's other things going on with Bo, the AD and everything like that, which made it hard. I'm not trying to sit here and diss Bo. I don't think Bo had the athletic director set up that like what Rhule has from day one.
Certainly not the end.
And not at the end. I know Osborne was on board with it, but Bo was. So anyway, the way that Rhule lines up with what Trev already thought was going to work at Nebraska and the way he's integrated Nebraska history, the way he talks about Osborne, the way he always brings up, I talked to Coach Osborne about how to split this up and how Osborne said reps are important.
Yeah, he name drops like Rob.
Well, nobody name drops like Rob, but it's true. And the fact that Osborne seems so actively involved, even with Frost, I'm like, you figured Frost talked to Osborne all the time, and I'm sure he did, but you didn't necessarily hear him talking about him the way Rhule does. Rhule's looking to Osborne for almost guidance on, he's like, I heard him talking about the Damon. I don't know if y'all have watched this yet, but watch every part of that Damon Benning interview with Coach Rhule. It's fantastic.
Oh my gosh. Heard at sports.
100%.
Damon, they did a great job.
Fantastic. But, when he was talking about the black shirts, he's like, well, you know, the starting defense wore black shirts. They just kind of left it at that. And it's like, ever since ever since Solich, it's always been like, you know, you got to earn it. You got to play like this. You got to do this and that. You got to be in the community and blah, blah, blah. It's all this like perception. I'm like, well, it was, it,
used to just be the starting defense.
Yeah, well, it used to be. I mean, the origin is going down to Lawler's in downtown, yeah, and just trying to find a jersey color that was opposite from what the offense was wearing, and they couldn't get rid of black shirts.
Right.
That's the origin, and, right, and ever since that, you know, we're trying to create some mythical thing. Guess what? Tackle, play hard in football.
Yep.
You know, play hard in practice.
Right.
You know, live up to a high standard. Do those things. I mean, that's what's going to get you back.
It's always the fans that are kind of like, what's the black shirts mean? You know, play like a black shirt. But fans love to take stuff and run with it. And I love Husker Nation for all that stuff. I really do.
We're fans. We do.
But I wouldn't mind if it just got back to being, well, if you're the starting this position in defense, you wear a black shirt. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. I like it when it doesn't get stupid. Like, hey, we only have six black shirts because only six are
in
it.
Or I turned in my black shirt because I wasn't playing well. Well, then get off the starting lineup then.
Yeah.
If you're not playing good enough, then we like. Anyway, we don't have to keep going down that road.
What I like, and we said this earlier, and I kind of want to go back to this, is that we said not everything's been perfect so far. We've talked about it. He had to make a change on the coaching staff already, for Christ's sakes. And we've had some play, you know, a guy that we thought was going to be a starter just went into the portal day. Yep. It hasn't been perfect.
Nope.
It hasn't been perfect. And yet, what I like about how Coach Rhule has led things is that he's made things look easy so far, mm-hmm, when they're not. They're not easy.
No.
But how would some of those previous coaches we've talked about, how would they have handled some of the same situations? Right. Or when they get asked that question about, you know, what are you going to do with the black shirts or whatever? There are times that we've created contention in the past.
Yeah.
Different coaches,
right,
different situations, different media members, mm-hmm, all that. We've created contention that didn't need, mm-hmm, to be there. Stop creating your own in-house issues. Guess what? I mean, Coach Rhule is about as easygoing on the things that aren't important.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get in a fight with somebody about something that's not important. But when it gets to be important, when there's an issue that's important, he's not going to waver on it either. I mean, there are things
that
you're doing it this way. That, mm-hmm, it's not the Rhule way. You're going to do it. It's going to be the right way.
Right.
This is how we're going to do this in this program. And he's setting that so early. And look, again, I don't want to, the season to me isn't going to fall because one guy, any guy, mm-hmm, I don't care who the one player is, you know, comes and goes. There's a lot of players on this team, and next man up, that's a mentality we got to have. Yep. I mean, I know somebody would listen to that and go, oh my God, what if something happened to Jeff Sims right now? Then you know what? You got to put up the next quarterback. Yep. I hate to say it that way. It's just, it's the mentality you've got to have. We only have three scholarship quarterbacks. 1994 had two scholarship quarterbacks and Matt Turman. I don't know. Yep. And then if Matt Turman goes down, you have to have Cluster Johnson and Tony Veal and playing safety and guys that you have to create contingency plans. Tommy Frazier last night told us about returning punts. I asked him.
I remember that.
And he goes, I did it just because I used to do it in high school. And if this guy and this guy and this guy get hurt, I might be the fourth guy returning punts. Yep. And you know what? That's what Coach Rhule has to do right now. People talked about, you know, why'd you have this gigantic staff when you built this huge staff? Well, you got a guy like Martin sitting there as an analyst, and he just seamlessly now just went into being a tight ends coach. Yep. He's been a position coach at other P5s. And so guess what? You create your own contingency plans.
Yes.
And you've got to do that right now at quarterback. We've got to be more than just three scholarship quarterbacks. We have the two walk-ons behind that, but we might need to do something else. We might have to create some wildcat positions for guys. Be creative.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that I banged my head time and time again last year watching our offense, the Whipple offense, where it's like, well, shit, that didn't work once, and it didn't work the next 20 times either. What were you know? And you're showing things sometimes. Yep. And it's like, be creative, be innovative, do something different. If something's not working, figure out a way to make it work. And that's, I just, Rhule has shown, I don't know what he has to prove to me, but he has shown that he's willing to maneuver around these situations. He seems to have an answer for when something pops up. He basically, it's the thing that I've heard so many people say, it's the adult in the room. And when somebody acts like they're not an adult,
mm-hmm,
we've had some guys act like they're not adults. Coach Rhule acts like an adult and handles it.
Here's what I've liked so far and encouraged me going forward through the season. You know, we talked about being tough and then hitting the quarterbacks and the quarterback. Well, then we saw it. You know, we saw in the spring game, they were hitting the quarterbacks. You know, they were getting run. And you talk about the standard, and then some guy steps out of line, and he's kind of removed from the team. You know, you talk about getting in-state recruits and making that a priority, and then you see that. So when Rhule talks about going in this season and being – he's like, I can't say that we're going to be the hardest-working team. I can't say that we're going to be the smartest team. I can't say that, but I can say we're going to be tough. Like, now, as much as – and I know there's plenty of fans out there like, well, I got to see it to believe it. I'm with you.
Yep.
I'm with you. But it encourages me that for the most part, it's hard for me to even think of an example. And if you got one, put it in the comments of something rules said that we were going to do that, you know, and that the time has passed now that we didn't do, you know, like the quarterback's going to get hit in practice. They did, you know, we're going to be tough on the lines. We looks like we are, we're going to change our bodies, going to add flexibility. We're going to be more mobile. Mm-hmm. We've done that. We're going to be emphasis on the state and recruiting. Well, we did that, you know, like all that stuff that he said we're going to do, we've done. And like, it allows me to relax a little bit, open myself up a little bit more to the possibility that we might have a decent year, you know, because I do think if we're a very tough team physically, mentally, then we're going to be a very tough team to beat on the field, period. I believe that because I believe all these close mm-hmm. games over these last few years have proven that we have talent. You know, I just think that with a little more targeted focus in that toughness that he talks about and demands, you know, you see his coaching staff coming off the practice field. They're drenched in sweat. Now, I know it's been like 98% humidity for all you Redcasters that aren't in the state of Nebraska. It's been humid.
It's always humid here. And yeah, I don't always see coaches.
Yeah, these guys are working. So. Oh, you're talking about like he talks about player health and recovery. What's he do? Grass fields. They're practicing on grass fields. Like, that's not a small move. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big move. And credit to Trev making that stuff happen. You know, the synchronicity and the alignment of these two men towards building this program correctly. As much as I want to resist it because I'm in my own feels about that and how much I just don't want to be excited and then let down. Boy, I tell you what, it's getting harder and harder to keep those guards up.
Well, one of my favorite things is I've heard this from some fans I've talked to that have been critical of Rule, which by the way is totally fair. Be critical.
I don't mind.
Be critical, right? But
be fair in your criticism.
Well, that's I think just in general, I'd say be fair to a lot of people, right? But at the same time that I've heard someone be critical, I've also heard that same person or the same people reference, well, gosh, he's good friends. Coach Rule's good friends with that Penn State AD. In fact, he even got that, yeah. You know, he referenced and gave a good reference for that AD who's at Penn State. Now, right. What happens when Franklin leaves? What are you worried about?
Yeah.
What are you worried about? Are you worried about Matt Rule doing such a damn good job at Nebraska that we're going to lose him? Is that what we're worried about, folks?
That'd be awesome.
After 20 years of coaching staff after coaching staff leave not in good ways, after being the number two team in the country mm-hmm. in dead money, mm-hmm. you know, over the course of those years, millions paid out to coaches to not coach here because they were like, is our biggest concern that this guy might leave and go back to his alma mater and do a Dave Van Horn on us? Because guess what? Dave Van Horn took us to three, you know, two College World Series and set up the program for success.
100%.
Whether the program did, that's a side note. Mm-hmm. What I want to see right now, I'm not thinking this isn't 4D chess. I'm not 20 years in the future. I hope Matt Rule is our coach 20 years from now because he's had so much success and we've won national titles and all that. I hope.
Yep.
I hope. But right now, what I want him to be is the best coach Nebraska's had mm-hmm. this season, next year, and you go from there.
Show us the way. And prove that it can still be done in Nebraska, yeah, which you and I both believe it can still be done here. I know national media is like, well, Nebraska, can they compete? Shut up. That's so dumb. It's such laziness. Like to think that now, especially now with the transfer portal and NIL, that look, Prop 48 is still going to kill us. Shut up. That's dumb. We've already proven we can get talent in here. What we haven't done very well is develop that talent.
Yeah.
Well, what if we do? What if we develop that talent then? Look, I know Penn State's been marginally more successful, but they haven't put any trophies in their trophy case. Maybe a bowl game here and there that we have in these last few years.
Yeah, we're 4-1 against them.
Like, why are they a spot that he go to other than being his alma mater? He's talked. Okay, getting back to what he said and what he does, he wants his family to be raised in a place in over a period of time. Well, he's got some young kids here, and he's in Lincoln right now. He doesn't want to keep moving his team, so. He wants to set down roots and he wants to put it together. And man, I'm telling you, if you get it rolling in Nebraska, I guess I need to see it. I need to see what getting it rolling in Nebraska looks like in the 2020s. But I have a feeling that getting it rolling in Nebraska in the 2020s is going to look as good as it gets anywhere.
I don't think necessarily Alabama is going to be. Yes, I get the fertile recruiting ground, but that's horse shit anymore. Well, the way you can recruit nowadays with NIL and
if Alabama was such fertile recruiting ground, why are they coming to Ainsworth to try to get a tight end?
Holla.
So, I mean, my point here is let's just get good.
Yep.
Let's just get good. And I think that there's my expectations for the program as a whole. And I think this is very important. Expectations for the program can be different from expectations of a team.
Okay.
The expectations I have of this program is that whether there's a 4 or 12 team playoff, Nebraska should be sniffing it. That's what Nebraska should be as a program. Nebraska should be a top 10 team year in and year out. Nebraska should be 9 wins plus. Nebraska should be in November every single year contending to win the division, to win the conference, every single year. Basically everything that we haven't seen since we've started this podcast. But that's my expectations. That's my expectations of the program.
Right.
And they still maintain that. There's a reason they're building a $165 million facility on top of the amazing facilities that we've already had anyways. There's a reason why we can do these things that we're going to show up in Colorado and have half the stadium again when Deion's making his home opener. Yep. There's a reason for that, is that Nebraska fans aren't just going to let this thing die off.
Nope.
Okay. And so that's my expectations as a program. My expectations for this team, I'm going to maintain this. I've done it all off season. It's the race to 6 to me.
Yep.
And that race to 6 isn't a ceiling. I can't stand it when someone sits there and says, oh, the ceiling on this team is 8-4. Whatever.
Yeah.
I guess you would have said, what was the ceiling on TCU last year? Because they went 11-1. What was the floor last year on Northwestern? Because they went 1-11. And of course, as we all know, their one win was against us, right?
Yep.
Stop it with the floors and the ceilings. Yep. We had a whole thing on that over the offseason. But the race to 6 to me is important. Mm-hmm. We need to get back to a bowl game. And if it takes us 6 weeks to get to the bowl, or 6 weeks to get to that win point, we're 6-0. We just beat Michigan. We just beat Illinois on the road the week after that. We're 6-0. Awesome.
Yeah.
We can sit here and we can evaluate. We'll have a red cast that week. We'll talk about how important it is to not look past the next opponent. And let's revise our expectations. Let's win 8, 9, 10, 11 games. Awesome.
Yeah.
Or if we're 5-6 and Iowa's coming to town, it's Black Friday, we need to get to a bowl game.
Yep.
Beat Iowa for a second straight season.
Yep.
And beat them at home. Defend home. And let's get those extra bowl practices and let's get to a bowl game. And anywhere in between.
That's
my expectation of this team.
Okay.
That's not the same expectation as a program.
Nope.
But for this year and year one, my expectation is that. So win or lose against Minnesota. It helps me with my mindset too, because I'll be as pissed as anyone if we lose to Minnesota. Of course I will. I'm mad every time we lose.
Yep.
But if we lose to Minnesota, I'm going to reevaluate in my head. And I'm going to sit there and go, honky, stop. Mm-hmm. It's the race to 6. The season's not over because we lost a game. It's the race to 6. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep evaluating, keep doing that in my head over and over, week, win or lose.
Yep.
And I think that's important in this first season. That my expectation in this first season is that we set ourselves up for long-term success.
I think,
going to a bowl does that to me.
I truly think, too. That's most of Husker football fans. I think most people, though disappointed with how the program's gone, look at this season and look at this coach. If they're being a fair evaluator, it's hard to project more than 8 wins any way you slice. It's hard to be you're being ultra optimistic if you say over 8 wins, just out of pocket, being really bullish on it. But you're also being kind of naive if you think there's no way to get even more wins. But I think – who said it? Was it – oh, Trev Albert said it about in the Big Ten media days. He's like, most Husker fans can recognize when you're playing good football. And the wins might not always reflect, but if you're playing good football and we lost that game, not because of poor clock management, not because of poor special teams play, not because the snap's going over somebody's head, just because just normal like football bullshit. If we could remove some of that and lose a game, okay, I see the progress. I see where we're going with that. That's where I want to be year one. Okay, this is my year one caveat. Now year two, I don't want any of that shit. We better have it lined up. We better done a good job recruiting. Year one will never be held to the same standard as year two. Year two has got to be a higher standard. If we're moving in the right direction, we're not the program that I don't want this shit. I want it to be like I want a steady climb. I think Rule would say the same thing. The whole coaching staff. You think year one should be the worst we ever are.
Yeah.
With this staff. That's 100%. So whatever the floor is now, and I'm not saying what the floor is. I'm saying after the end of the year, we'll know that should be about the floor. Unless we had some sort of fluky win against Michigan or something like that, where they, you know, snap the ball over their head on a punt. We were turning for a touchdown and winning that game. Not calling that a prediction. I'm just saying that.
Well, cool. I want to show this. And this is interesting. And we did our preseason. Was it?
Okay. Go ahead and talk about
it. Yeah. We did our preseason predictions on Twitter. We had over almost 50,000 votes, and it was game by game, went through each game, and you can vote on it, and who's going to win, just head up. And what I love about Husker Nation, this happens every single year, and it happened again this season. If you ask most fans, and we do, most people say, hey, you know, we're going to go 6-6, 7-5, 8-4, you know, maybe being optimistic. And I think most people think that way. But when you actually throw the teams in front of you and you have to vote one team versus another, Nebraska versus Minnesota, Nebraska versus Colorado, same thing happened. This is almost 50,000 votes, Nebraska going 10-2. And so the slide here, if you're watching this, first half of the season here, where do we got this? Oh, my graphic is wrong on this. But anyways, first half of the season, 5-1. And it's us beating Minnesota 75-25%, us beating Colorado 92-8%, us beating Northern Illinois 96-3 point something, us beating La Tech 96-3. And then here's Michigan. Now, Michigan's going to beat us like 85-15%. And Nebraska, we're going to turn around. And this was the closest game. Nebraska's going to beat Illinois 57-43%. Now, think about this game for a second. It's Nebraska at Illinois. Mm-hmm. It's following the Michigan game. So yep. Big game on a Saturday. And we got to turn around and play Illinois in Champaign on Friday night. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, kind of let all those challenges get up there. But we're going to win them, you know, 57-43. The second half of the season here, of course, we're going to beat Northwestern 97-3%. We're going to beat Purdue 80-20%. We're going to beat Michigan State on the road 61-39%. Maryland at Nebraska 77-23%. Now we're going to lose to Wisconsin, and we're going to lose to them. And of course, I can't see it because I got a thing in front of it. It was about like 65-35, something like that. And then Iowa at Nebraska, we're going to beat them 82-18.
Sounds right.
And so, what I love about it, it's just it's Husker Nation. Even when you've been beat down year after year after year. And I think it's the blue blood mentality. We still look at the name. We still look at it and go, we're not, are you kidding me? We're going to lose to Purdue.
Yeah.
Never mind what we've done to Purdue 100%. Against Purdue the last, you know, 6-7 years.
Yep.
We're going to lose to, you know, are you kidding me? We're going to lose to Illinois. Never mind what Illinois has done to us the last couple of years. Right.
Yeah.
And granted, I think you can look at those things differently too. What have those teams done to us the last couple of years? Have they beat us? Have they beat us down? Or, in a lot of ways, have we beat ourselves in those games?
Yeah.
And I mean, whether it's onside kicks in the second half or the Illinois game that we went to in Champaign 2 years ago, I mean, the cluster dumb effery of football, that stuff, that's what's got to end.
It's a hard job to evaluate a football team when they haven't played very good football fundamentally. And, you know, like it's hard to evaluate your talent. It's hard to evaluate your floor and ceiling when you just haven't seen your best foot. You know, like I think like Illinois is a good example of a team that really flipped it when they started playing good ball, and it took a good coach to do that. Bielema really flipped that team quick. You know, is it unreasonable to think Nebraska could do the same damn thing? I mean, come on. I'm like, I know without even looking, we've out-recruited Illinois these last several years in a row. So
there's a lot of guys. This team, I'm looking at the lineup right there, and immediately the first name that jumped off was Thomas Fedoni, just looking at him. Mm-hmm. There's just a whole slew of guys on this team that it's untapped potential.
Yep.
We haven't seen it yet.
Right.
A lot of
it's on the line too.
I'm not yet. Well, yeah, we've talked about that how many countless years now.
Yeah.
If it's recruiting stars and all that, I mean, the line has had it, but we just haven't seen the play on the field match that. You know, when I look at a guy like Thomas Fedoni, am I drinking Kool-Aid or am I being completely unrealistic if I sit there and say, well, geez, stay healthy. And this guy, I think this guy can be all conference. Well, I don't even know if he's going to be the starter.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the reality right now. But I like the components. I think we have some really good players on this team, and it's going to be about how do they develop? How do they come together?
Yeah.
And I think what you can do in practice and where you can make a difference in today's football more than you could have 20 years ago. We always talk about all the advantages Nebraska had 25 and 30 years ago. We could be on TV when other teams weren't, blah, blah, blah. One advantage that you can have today is you can be more physical than the opponent. You can choose to be more physical. Mark Banker, when we got our behinds kicked in 2016 to Iowa, got done and said, you know, man, they must have bloodbaths for practices. And I'm sitting there going, well, what are we doing in practice?
Yeah.
That was a choice that we made. That was a choice that we made. I promise you, there are other teams right now all across the country, not just Big Ten or whatever, but there are teams out there that are making a choice not to be as physical as Coach Rule's being physical with this team. Mm-hmm. That's a place that we can make an advantage.
Yeah.
And if Minnesota has beaten us the last 4 or 5 years, just physically overpowering us, blah, 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 and they think that we're just going to be the same, we're going to take the same physical approach to them. If that's what they think, then I think that I like our chances.
I do too.
Because I think that we're going to be better prepared, better suited to take on a physical Minnesota team.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Minnesota's a running team. Minnesota's getting under center. Minnesota's gigantic lineman. Minnesota will get an unbalanced sets. I know what Minnesota does.
Yep.
But what I like about that being a game one for us is it's an opportunity for us right away to see where we are physically.
Well, and let's see how they do with the physical team. Let's see how they handle us playing a physical brand of football and see how well they adapt to that.
Yeah. I'll be very upfront. I'll be very disappointed if we get pushed around against Minnesota. And that's not a knock on Minnesota. I understand what Minnesota wants to do. I understand how physical that team can be. I respect Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this from a level of not respecting them. I would be disappointed if we are physically not ready or if we get pushed around in that game.
I greatly dislike PJ Fleck. When I see him talk, it irritates me. His whole shtick, it's not my brand of what I want my head coach to look like, but I will not deny his results.
Yeah.
He's done a great job in Minnesota. My nephew Ryan, we argue about it all the time. He's a big PJ Fleck guy. He came and spoke at a coaching conference that he did. And PJ Fleck does a lot of good things. He's just not my type of guy that I want. But you know, we've out recruited them too. We've out recruited basically the whole West and haven't developed worth a damn. Like I don't know, and neither does anybody else, what it looks like if we're developing players to a high level. And I kind of want to transition this a little bit into we haven't seen a lot of off-season videos from this team, this staff, anything like that. No speeches, no rah-rah, no weight room, you know, kind of how much we're lifting bullshit. But we have seen a few videos now, these because they allowed a little media access this first week. And saw some guys, dude. I know this gets said every year. When Frost got here, we got really big, you know. But this year, it looks, man, Arik Gilbert. Have you seen videos of him?
Yeah.
He looks insane. Like this is we're talking like a 5-star talent tight end. Like I don't know if it was Sean Callahan. Somebody said, Through since they started ranking tight ends in the modern era, the highest ranked tight end ever in Rivals history is Arik Gilbert. He's on our team. And guess who's either backing or starting before him is one of the other highest ranked tight ends of all time. You know, there's Jeff Sims is a talent. Jeff Sims is a 6'4", 215 stallion with a rocket arm. He's gonna be quarterback
for him. We were in the top 10. In 2016, when Dave and I flew out to Columbus, Ohio, we had just lost the week before in overtime at Wisconsin. We were a top 10 team going out to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. We got beat 62-3. And the Sean Callahans, I remember Callahan saying this, and I remember other people saying this, was that you could tell before the game even started, just being on the field at field level, that Ohio State team walks up to our team and you just knew we were going to get beat. Like we couldn't physically compete,
right,
which is crazy because we were 7-1 and we were in the top 10
and
had just taken Wisconsin down to the wire. But apparently, you know, so how important is it that we look good off the bus? Well, I think there's some level of importance with that. I do.
So,
you know, at the
end of the day, you got to have guys.
Yeah. You got to have guys.
You got to have guys.
I think if you get down to the basics of week one and to go to Minnesota game, when I think of week one, and what it takes to win in week one. We said this 2 years ago before we went to the Illinois game. Go back and watch or listen to our shows. I guess we weren't on YouTube at the time, but if you listen to our shows, we talked about you just have to do the basic mm-hmm. things right. Mm-hmm. The team that plays the best special team, the team that doesn't kill itself with penalties and doesn't do the things with turnovers, if you play good, basic football, mm-hmm. you're going to win your first game more times than not. Coach Whipple last year said how important points were. Points were good, he said. And if we have to appreciate getting a field goal. Now, I have 100 issues with Whipple, but that at least was something that was smart, I think, that he came up with. But I'd also say I would go on the defensive side. We were talking defensively and mm-hmm. against what Wisconsin or what Minnesota is going to want to do. Minnesota is going to be physical and all that. What I would say is don't overthink this first game. Right. If you're Coach White, if you're Coach Rule, not that they need my advice here, but I go back to the Missouri game in year one of Pelini, and it was 2008. And we came out with crazy defenses, and we were going to blitz from this side and this side.
Yeah.
And it was very early in the tenure. They're trying to set up their, you know, their culture and their mm-hmm. defensive scheme and all those things. And we just got blown out by Missouri doing just some stupid things that were just – at that moment in time, just be good. Guess what? If you tackle well in week one, you're going to be okay. If you don't get penalized in week one, you're going to be okay. Yeah. Defensively, can you stand? Can you fill a gap? Mm-hmm. Can you make it hard for these guys that don't give them huge holes to run through? Mm-hmm. That Minnesota's not going to be – we're not playing Minnesota in week 10 either. They're not going to be a fine oil machine.
True.
So just play good, disciplined football.
Minnesota's –
do that in week one.
Minnesota struggled some of their early games in their since PJ's been there. And
a lot of teams struggle in their early games.
Whipple also said, or I think it was Whipple that said, you know, more often you lose your first game one than you win.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's like because of mistakes and mental errors and this and that. You know, it's more about not losing it than it is winning it.
Well, I go back to that roster you're talking about, Mac. You know, and I'm looking at these names. Play good, mm-hmm. disciplined football. And I look at these names, and I know what these guys were as recruits, mm-hmm. and I know what these guys were as transfers, mm-hmm. and I see some 5-star guys, and I see 4-star guys, and I see good players in there. Mm-hmm. Play good, disciplined football.
Yep.
Don't catch punts at the 1-yard line. Do the basic things well.
Right.
Tackle well, which starts in practice by tackling, which we learned.
Make your field goals. If you get down there.
Make your field goals. We saw Tristan Alvano kicking. You know, we saw some video of him, but we also saw that Bleak Rowe was making his field goals as well. Play good special teams. And guess what? It doesn't have to be harder than that. Mm-hmm. We break things down. I love Husker fans. I love Twitter and all that. We make it so – we get down to the finest of detail.
Mm-hmm.
Don't penalize yourself. Yeah,
right.
Don't turn the ball over. When you get into the red zone, score points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
yep.
I mean, these are fairly.
You just want to put your best foot forward. You just want to give yourself the best opportunity to win.
That's what I want to see in week one.
And that's typically just limiting mistakes, especially week one. It's just limiting mistakes and executing as well as you can, as often as you can. And if you're physical, if you're the more physical team, I feel like that just lends itself to if a team's not ready to put their best foot forward and you get dealt with a really physical team, that's when balls pop out. That's when turnovers happen. That's when a pick six can happen. That's when, you know, like Minnesota, yes, they've had great success these last few years, probably, you know, since, you know, the early, I don't know what, 40s when they were really good, 50s maybe. They're playing their best ball they've played in the last, you know, since PJ Fleck's been there. But they're still a newer team. They don't have Mo, and they got a new quarterback. They're guys too. You know, like it's not a given that they're going to come out and execute at the highest level right away. You know, let's exploit that.
Well, I'll just make it as simple as this. 2 years ago, we went down to that Illinois game in mm-hmm. Champaign. That was game one of the Bielema era. And you can say whatever you want about Bielema. You can like him or don't like him. Doesn't really matter. I'm going to ask the question a different way. It's not – instead of beating us up and saying how terrible we were – because we were.
Yep.
We were, and we beat it up for 2 years.
Yeah, we were terrible early.
Let me rephrase the question. What did Illinois do really well that game?
They didn't kill themselves.
I mean,
they didn't kill themselves.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Nobody – for all the things that – oh, God, you know, how many yards is this guy going to catch per pass? Oh, my God, this one guy is out. You know, this guy might be mm-hmm. hurt. You know, you can go through all these depth chart things and get to the fine. What did Illinois really do well that game? Really? Other than literally not blow it.
Not blow it. They just waited. They basically waited for us to hand them the game. And we did on a platter.
And it's the combination of, boy, you can say that's bad coaching on our part. You can also say you can give a lot of credit there to Bielema that, you know, he was ready to go right away.
What you can't give credit to is their fan base. You know, their fan base had nothing to do with that win. You know, not one damn thing. And it just also points out to the fact that if you've got a good coach who's got a plan and understands a conference and knows what to do to put a good football team together, which I think, I mean, you can't deny Bielema. You really can't deny him. He's done it now at Wisconsin. And he's already flipped Illinois to a program that they haven't been for a long time. And they had NFL coaches there.
Sure.
You know, Bielema's come in and done damn good work. So I'm not discounting Illinois out of pocket or anything like that. But it also, you can look at them and go, well, if they can do it with a good coach. And I think you and I and most of Husker Nation would agree that based off his resume, take the NFL out of it. Rule's a good coach. Rule's a really good coach who's not just done it. He's never been given the keys to an ultra program.
He's done it. And that's the issue. When Frost came here, for the people that had an issue when Frost came here, I'm not trying to talk now. I'm not talking in reverse. If somebody said, well, I had an issue with Frost in 2018. I didn't, by the way. Let me be very clear. I'm not talking about myself here. But for that fan that said, I had an issue in 2018 with Frost. And by the way, that person looks smarter than me, right? But that person, their issue would have been, well, this guy, he's green. He's only done it for 2 years. Yep. I have a whole here's my list of things why I don't think Frost is the guy that was qualified for it. You look like a genius now.
Yep.
I don't think that you could take that same list, apply it to Rule. Because Rule has done this at a college level, two different locations, shown really good success, flipping two programs to double-digit victory programs, taking them over in really bad spots. And you know, this is – we've heard this a million times. He's not taking over a program nearly in as bad of a spot here as the previous ones.
And you know, with the Miles Farmer's news withstanding, most of his message has been – that this team is really hungry to compete and win. They're really tired of losing. Like there's been not as much buy-in issue as maybe there have been in years past. And that is very satisfying to hear. And I think we saw that with the Iowa team. And I think Mickey Joseph gets a lot of credit for that, you know, like keeping this team and Bill Bush too. Like there's a want to with this core group of guys, even with the transfers coming in, there's a want to, like a desire to work as hard as we can to get as good as we can be. And man, you can't ask more from these young guys than that. You know, hell, they're moving in the silly dorms, and that sounds kind of cool, but dude, we're average sized. We fit in twin beds. Just, you know, but think if you're Teddy Prochazka trying to fit in a twin bed, you're literally dangling your legs off of a wooden post trying to get some sleep. And that's just one guy. We got a bunch of giants.
This is what pros try to do, right?
But pros get to bring in their own beds. Well, and bring in a lot of nice stuff and this and that. These guys have already kind of committed to the grind.
Maybe there's NIL packages for these guys to get better beds.
I don't think Rule would let them. I think Rule wants them to get down and dirty and like they can't even leave campus, dude.
I love it. They've set up guys to be. You know, Tommy Frazier talked last night about how the difference between him and Brooke just from a social standpoint, you know, I came from, you know, Bradenton, Florida, and he comes from Goodland, Kansas.
Sure.
And the difference is, you know, so we weren't going to be best buds. We respected each other, but we weren't going to be best buds because we were from such a different spot. And I've seen some of the matchups that they've had in Selig dorms of this guy and this guy. And it's like, whoa, I wasn't. And it's usually an offense and a defensive player, but it's just all across the board. It's an offensive lineman with a defensive back and so on. Tony says, didn't some coach last year say something about needing to just wait for Nebraska to make mistakes and beat themselves?
That's 100%.
I recall that.
Yep.
So,
yep. Which was like makes you sick to your stomach to think that that's something you could count on Nebraska doing. And yet we all know that's exactly what would happen. Yeah. We all watch those games on pins and needles. Like no lead going into the fourth quarter was like you weren't comforted by it. You know, back in the day, you would just watch games, even if we were down, you're like, well, they're going to fumble. We're going to land on something. We're going to pick something off. We'll break a long run. Like, that's what you thought. Somehow we're going to figure out a way to win this game because that's what we kind of always did.
Last year it flipped to the point where we would have second half leads, double digit leads like Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Minnesota last year. And instead of the mentality being that we're going to, you know, run away with this and win it, it was, how are you going to blow it?
Right.
That's the stuff that has to end. Coach Rule has harped on that so many times. That's what I want to see. Yep. Well, Mac, we're going to parting shots here.
Okay.
And this has been exactly, even timeline, this is exactly the show I was hoping it would be. The first, it's an hour and a half when this is all done. The first half hour was all about me.
Yeah.
It's the forum, and I'm the guest on the forum, and I appreciate that. The three questions.
You did really good. You did really good.
Thank you. Why am I a Husker fan? What was my favorite Husker fan memory? Who are my all-time favorite Huskers? That's the first 30 minutes of this, and I'm so thankful for all the people that were watching along. I had friends and family. I know mm-hmm. they were watching along with that. Thank you, Matt, for being the host of that.
My pleasure.
Really was a lot of fun. And then at the 30-minute point, we transitioned to a match rule, yeah. and we just did a full hour.
Yeah.
Just – we did, by the way, I'm a big notes guy, mm-hmm. zero notes. I don't have any notes for the match rule. And we just went for an hour because that's what we do. That's back in 1994 sitting at Hardee's.
Yep.
That's what it was. It was mm-hmm. just you and I sitting back and doing it.
There's a lot to like, I guess. Was that your parting shot?
That's my parting okay. shot.
All right.
You do it.
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot to like about what you're seeing with the camp now opening up. I know there's little, you know, trepidation with the Miles Farmer and everything like that. That's also part of it. But the my main thing that I've seen that I like is the players are moving around good. The coaches are coming off saying positive things. I love the coaches' general message that this team really wants to be good. And if you got a team that really wants to be good and they are facilitated by a coaching staff that we hope knows what it takes to be really good, that gives me a lot of hope going forward. And to me, the Minnesota game's a coin flip, but what I don't think we will see is a Nebraska that comes out stumbling out of the block, making a bunch of mistakes and just shooting themselves in the foot. Now it's game one. It's year one. Some of that stuff could happen. That's not necessarily going to ruin the rest of the season for me. If some of that shit happens, some of that shit will happen. We might have a fumble. We might have a stupid penalty, you know, but it's like,
well, we will.
How there's, do we, yeah. No... Like, how do you respond to it? You know, like, is it a continual problem? You know, like,
does that one problem lead to another problem?
Does it shift the whole mentality of the team? Are we all of a sudden looking, kicking sand or whatever?
Not getting a third down conversion isn't a reason to shank a punt on the next play, mm-hmm. you know, and it's about, and we make fun of Iowa all the time for things, but it's one of the reasons I give Iowa credit. Mm-hmm. They think of all the countless bumbles they've right. had on offense.
Right.
And yet there's a reason they keep winning 8, 9, 10 games right. a season. It's because, okay, well they have that, but then the defense finds a way to score a defensive yep. touchdown
right.
or the punter figures out a way to kick the ball
right.
out of, you know, at the 2-yard line. And it's not that I want to be Iowa. I'm not saying that. But what I want to be is a team that doesn't beat itself.
Yep.
And when it does make mistakes, because every team makes mistakes, mm-hmm. Alabama, Georgia, yep. they make mistakes, but don't let that mistake multiply into 2 and 3 and 4.
I just want
to that's the approach Coach Rule is going to do. And I love it.
Yep.
I love where we're at right now. The race to 6 is big for me.
We want to be the team that puts the pressure on the other team to make their mistakes. Like,
yep.
and as opposed to the other way around. Like that's, I feel like that's the direction we're heading. I cannot wait to see it. I'm so excited. I'm so geeked out about how we're looking. You know, there's plenty of roster stuff we didn't even talk about.
Yeah.
Like just how good Xavier Betts you're hearing doing. Prochazka looks amazing. You know, the defensive line comes in looking svelte and cut. I love the messaging at the podium. Like when NJ Sherman talks, he just seems all business to me. Like the messaging coming from the program is exactly in line with what I want it to be. It's not a bunch of show me. It's a bunch of just work and like putting the process 1% better every day. So I'm bought in. I'm 100% bought in, not blinders on, but I'm bought into like what we're doing. And I'm fully supportive of the staff, this program, this team, the athletic director, where we're going with things. Does that make it rule 8? I don't care. Like, listen, there's plenty of places you can go on the internet. You can go on and find all the negative things that we could talk about too. I don't want to talk about them. There's plenty of negative stuff we've talked about over the years. I want to focus on the positive, and I want the positive to be the narrative. So I guess that's sort of my parting shot is like, you know, you are where you are with Husker football, but just to be negative to kind of protect yourself. If it's fun for you, fine. I'm not gonna play that. I want to be excited about the football season. It's so short. The offseason's so long.
Well, and I like the conversations that you and I have. I guess I'm biased that way. I like what we talk about. But that, thank you, Redcasters, for following along. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for your comments along the way. And We'll have another show here, a RedCast. We're going to have Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews on here at some point next week. I don't have all the details finalized. We can break down. We can get into position groups. And we can go player by player and show first and second teams. We will. And there's plenty of shows doing that right now. The talk we had tonight is just the kind of talk that I just want to have right now. Yeah. It is bigger picture. And it is just – it's just in general, it is – it's – what's important as a program? What do we want this program to be? What do we want Matt Rhule to be? I don't want him to be perfect. Coach Osborne wasn't perfect.
No.
Nebraska football wasn't perfect. When we talked to Tommy Frazier, he told us a bunch of issues and things that they had. It wasn't perfect, but you get through those things and you build bonds up as a team. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's some of what's going on in Selleck right now. You build those bonds and you figure out that when something goes wrong, you don't double down and make a second wrong or a third wrong.
Right.
How do you
don't let
it beat you over and over and over again.
Exactly.
If you do that enough times, I said this so many countless times on this show, and it sounds so hollow because we started this show right before Riley's last year. But if you do the right things, and you do them long enough, good things will follow.
It's almost remarkable to think that it couldn't work out, but you're right. Like I feel like when I hear what he's doing, 95% of I think that's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. It's like, how many things can you do right in a row and still lose games? I don't think that many. I don't think that you can keep doing all the right things and keep losing. But I guess we'll see. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, football is within a month. We are in the month of football now.
4 weeks from now, Vegas, Jerry, we will be in Minnesota.
We're going to play some ball.
We will be in Minnesota for that week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The other guys, producer Skip, Rob, and Dave will be playing golf at the TPC with Vegas, Jerry, which is awesome. You and I will be drinking somewhere near the Minnesota campus. And talking with Gopher and Husker fans, hopefully
some co-eds. And, JK, I'm married up.
And it's great. We're 4 weeks away from this. Let's get the football started. But Mac, I think that's a good way to end it.
I did too.
Until next time, that's another Go Big Redcast.
Heard at Sports Network Production.